Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Thank you. Remind me of that I'm old now.
Damien, how you doing?
Doing great.
Good. I was going to play the whole thing, but I figured it was like 3 minutes, so we'll have to break in later and do it. Okay. But how you doing? Okay. Hey, Fabian.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
This is what happens when we get old, people.
I wasn't synchronized.
I know. It was like the delay. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Toad made a good video. Right?
The mix minus wasn't right.
Okay, we got it. So, David, why don't you tell us about our guests a little bit before they call in?
Oh, can I just let it be a surprise? No, actually, guests tonight are Travis Hartford and Jeff Atwood from Locating the Lost and Grimm Paranormal. And tonight, I'd like to actually kind of dedicate part of the show strictly to Locating the Lost.
Okay.
It's a group, and I think they do a lot of really good work, really important stuff for people who really do need some answers.
Yep, that's really good.
And,
to hear
and yeah, it's yep. not just for the living, but for those that have been missing, those that have been lost,
mm-hmm.
people that just haven't gotten any kind of closure. And that's a
right.
big part of, or the whole part of what this group does. A lot of it, anyway. But
right.
I'll let Travis and Jeff kind of explain more once they get on.
Okay, that would be a good one, but it sounds like a really good, I'm curious, very curious about it, you know? Just because
right.
I'm very interested in stuff like that. You know that, especially with history.
Yes.
Even with history, with historic things, finding out that, you know what I mean? It's cool. Disturbing, but cool.
Yeah.
You know?
David, how'd you find out about him?
I have known Travis for a while now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I mean, working with his brother Toby on a couple of different ventures up here through paranormal groups.
Nice.
Through Parafest Maine,
mm-hmm.
which hopefully we can get Travis to drop some hints on later in the show as to possible guests and lecture speakers this year.
Okay, gotcha.
Very cool.
But, yeah, I've known him for roughly 7 years.
Okay, that's a long time. That's good. Very good.
That's pretty cool.
You know? So what'd you do for your birthday, David?
Watched it snow this morning.
I know.
Yes, I did. What did we get? About 8 inches?
Yeah, and all I got was some kind of snow chunks. They come down. It's raining, and all of a sudden I go over by the door, and there's these snow frisbees. I don't know, they were big, just chunks of like snow. It was I made a video of it. It was really crazy, and then it stopped and rained again.
Yeah, we got little tiny flurries.
If you guys want to come up and partake in our next storm, we're supposed to get anywhere from 6 to 12 inches in the next storm.
No.
Hey, did you guys, I tagged you in the thing with the radio signals that were the longest, the oldest, or the longest distance in radio signals they picked up from, like, I forget how much it was. What was it? 6 billion miles. I don't know space miles. I don't even know what to call that. But the longest radio signals.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It's not. It's not a parsec, because that's a measurement of time.
Right.
Yeah.
So when Han Solo said that the Millennium Falcon, a parsec is a measurement of distance, not time.
Right.
Yes.
So, and that was proven so that they could say that Han Solo was wrong. He didn't know what he was talking about.
Oh.
You can't run. You can't make the Kessel run in 8 parsecs, because a parsec is distance, not time.
Okay.
And
sorry, Star Wars fans, but
look, I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, light years are measured in 86,000 miles per second, right? It's like 186,000 miles per second. Is that the speed of light? How long it takes to travel in a year?
I still say we don't really have any clue of anything. We're just getting there. So every time science learns something, it learns something else. And so we are on the cusp of something.
Oh, I know. Our textbooks are completely useless now.
You're absolutely
right. From when we were kids.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
All three of us were in high school, whatever, what have you.
Wait, you guys went to high school?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I went to the bowling alley.
Oh, cool.
I made it a whole 3 years in high school.
I went for 3 years too, and I did the work program and got a GED in 87.
There you go. Yep.
But I did graduate with a GED.
I went to
college for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's really good. I became an animal specialist.
I learned, let's see, this was back in the day, so I got to learn who the best people were at the Kmart diner to get the best food for lunch, and then I could go over and play pool and do some bowling on my own, knew how much money it was going to cost.
You mean the days where you could walk off the school grounds, right, like we all have?
No. We weren't allowed. They had, we weren't allowed because other people messed it up. People like me in school before me.
Wait a minute, seriously? You weren't, baby, you were allowed off school grounds, right? During lunchtime and whatnot? Or maybe not, because you guys weren't in the city.
I went to high school, I was at Nimitz High School in Irving, Texas, so that's Dallas.
We used to all go to Green Shack, so this is like a little store down the street to get snacks after lunch.
Technically we could.
Yeah.
But I just never did because I always stayed behind somehow, and I had to catch
up
on work.
Yeah,
no. Yeah. No, the year before I got into high school, they closed the lunch period, so you weren't allowed to leave.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Because
that's
too many people did what I did, and they just walk out and go do their own thing.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. There was a hole in the fence. You know how you walk around the track for gym? And there was, like, a hole in the fence. So me and my girlfriend Annie, we'd walk around the track. And go to the whole fence and leave, and then come back and walk around the other way before the period was over. I didn't say that. Okay.
Nope, we didn't hear nothing.
But we were still there, you know, just on time and all.
Yeah.
You were a perfect little angel when you were in high school.
I was there. I checked into my first period class.
No, I was good. I didn't bother nobody.
And then I went to my second period class, and then I didn't like anybody else, so I decided to start leaving.
Okay.
So you're a sweetheart anyway.
Yeah.
You're awesome.
Yep. Aw. And
I don't care what David says about you.
the lobster has spoken.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Little hands, little big hands with little claws. There it is.
Just wait till I cook some Chinese food. Then I will be a wok lobster.
Wok, a wok
lobster.
Oh,
there it is. Ow. Chicken attack.
Oh, my God. What time is it? Okay. We've been on for 10 minutes already.
Have we really?
Oh, there's the timer.
Did you hear
that? Time to get the paranormal group out of the oven.
Yep. Okay, well, I guess if we're ready and if Travis and Jeff are kind of kicking out there somewhere.
Yeah, like,
maybe.
What's going on, man? Where are these people at?
Well,
right?
I kind of set them up at an 8:15 time.
Oh,
They could just call in.
Yeah, they can call whenever.
Yeah, whenever.
But
they
I'll go ahead and tell you. I was checking out their stuff, man. It's pretty interesting. Really is.
It sounds interesting.
Yeah. They're working on cases of people that are missing, and I think it's awesome. And they're trying to help. They're trying to help people have closure, families have closure.
Right.
And they're letting them tell their story. And
exactly.
Ground. Let me say the wrong word. Foot on the groundwork.
Okay. We have callers on the line. Hello.
All righty.
Hello.
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 Hey there.
This is Jeff.
Hello.
Whoa.
Ooh, feedback.
Uh-oh. We got a mix minus issue. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
Hello, Jeff. Hello, Travis.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Travis?
I'm doing well, Dave. Thanks for the invite.
Oh,
yeah,
well,
not a problem. Not a problem. Yes, I do really appreciate it. Once they brought me into the show, we were talking. I wanted to start getting maybe some crews in to start talking to them, and the first one that I thought about actually was you and Locating the Lost.
Yes, and it's very interesting. If you would like to elaborate a lot on what you do, about Locating the Lost, it would be great.
We started Locating the Lost about 3 years ago now. We just finished our third season, right, Jeff?
Yep.
Unofficially. We had someone cancel last minute, so we decided to start season 4.
Oh, okay.
That's great. That's good.
Now,
so anyway,
what is
the
mission?
So it started out actually as we're trying to build a YouTube channel using a psychic medium and us trying to search for missing people, try to provide tips and maybe get a direction that way. But the psychic medium is kind of further away from us than really worked out to do anything with. So we end up changing it to a podcast, and Jeff and I have been doing that since. Really, we like to be advocates for the missing and the unsolved, try to help maybe cause some pressure and give a voice to those people that are still needing answers.
Oh, that's
fantastic.
I think that is really,
now,
really good. So, what's
how
your
far
technique?
Across? Okay.
I'm sorry.
I'm just going to wait.
Well, this interests me, so don't mind me. I just had to ask the question. What techniques do you use for to help with the gray grief and the case itself?
Well, I research the cases a lot of times. I'm in a lot of different missing people groups on Facebook and unsolved murder groups on Facebook. So I'll see a family member post something about, you know, a missing relative, and I offer them to come on our podcast for an interview, and they share the story of the missing person. We help create posters when someone goes, especially here in Maine, when someone goes missing.
Oh,
jump in and create posters. I'm sure you've kind of seen them on Facebook. It's the red white posters that's missing across the top.
Yep.
That's kind of the format that we use. We help direct the family members. I'll tell a quick story. This lady had been missing her sister for 15 years from Ellsworth. So the very first thing I asked was, is there an actual missing person on her? And the lady said, no, we never actually filed anything, but her husband said that she changed her name and moved out of state.
Oh,
which kind of sounds strange, right?
She had some kids.
Yeah,
in
that's
right?
Like a red flag.
That sounds very strange.
And especially if
her
somebody
son
knows
had,
you changed your name and moved out of state, right? Because
right,
people
right,
wouldn't know if you did that. You know what I mean? Yes, go ahead. All right.
So her son had just graduated high school like a week or two before she had disappeared. So the family always thought there was something wrong with that story, but they never actually filed a missing person case with the Ellsworth Police Department. So it suggests that they contact Ellsworth PD, and then we'd start on our end and try to look, see if we can help locate her or share it on Facebook. So we began sharing the story on Facebook. Next thing I know, I've got Ellsworth PD calling me, asking me, who's this missing person? We don't have a record of them. I was like, I suggested that she contact you guys and create a case so that she can get the ball rolling. But long story short, the sister was still alive. She was living in North Dakota, had changed her name, had a whole new family, never told her new family about her past family or her ex-husband and her son. So I guess people do it, but that's very rare.
Especially if somebody knows, somebody kind of knows it, you know? Usually if you're going to change your name, you're out of there. You know what I mean? You don't want nobody to know who you are, you know, something like that.
Right.
But wow. But at least you knew. You found it, right? I mean, you found where she was, or they did, or the cops did, or whichever, right?
Well, I had found her online and had actually screenshot her picture off Facebook and sent it to the sister, but she wasn't sure if that was her or not. And then the police actually verified that was her.
See, you're good. That's real good. That's good work. Yep.
That would lead into my next question. How far does locating the lost reach? Like from California to Maine, do you go out of the country for the other two U.S. states, or is it just all continental?
Yeah, I'll let Jeff answer this.
It started out just being in Maine. That was sort of the original intent, because there's plenty of missing people in Maine, and we honestly didn't consider it getting as far as it has. Honestly, it was mostly just an advocacy sort of deal, right? Just trying to get stories of missing people out there and hearing from the families. But the more we got into it, we actually started getting requests from other people about, wanting to share their family stories. I think the first one outside of Maine was actually in Canada. We did that story, and we've had people from like Arizona reach out to us. Actually, that was a family member of mine. Distantly, it's kind of a long story, but at this point, anyone that wants to reach out to us and give their side of the story about their family, their missing or family members or whatnot, or anyone close to the case, because we don't only bring in family, but that's who we prefer. You know, we want the family member's side of it, because there's a lot more emotion in that, and it's a lot more closer to the story, and hearing their perspective about what they think is or is not happening that should be happening for their loved one's sake. You know, if the cops don't seem like they're giving any updates or that sort of thing, and that sort of helps add pressure to the story as well. So,
might get the cops
to do something. Mm-hmm. So,
okay,
yeah,
they're
only
do the job.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to do the job for them. You know what I mean? In order to give them that push, right, David? Right?
Yes.
We've had three cases in Canada and then one in Mexico recently. And then one thing I want to talk about was we had a police officer, a detective from Illinois, reach out to us. And she wanted us to look into this case that happened back in the 80s. And the very first thing I think I asked her was, how the heck did you find us? She's like, I've seen you guys online and like what you do. So maybe you guys could help drum up some interest in this case. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. She was pretty cool, too, she was looking for the, different avenues, because they were at, a deadlock with that case. And, we needed to try something new here. So she was trying to reach out to different podcasts. Like, it was pretty cool to see a cop sort of changing with the times and finding different avenues.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
I was going to say, whereabouts in Illinois? Because I used to live, that's where I grew up.
So give me a second, I can pull the case up. I actually meant to pull up our channel here and have all these cases right here handy, but if you want to ask the next question, I can get that information for you.
No, I've been checking out your channel, man. Y'all got some pretty cool stuff on there. Really interesting. Looks like you're really trying to help people out, and I think that's spot on. Great job, guys.
Okay. Well, while Travis is looking, Jeff, without having, like, psychic assistance on this, it's all basically boots on the ground, human intervention and investigation,
and
a lot
of investigating into, like you said, you found the picture. So you want his number and send it over there, and then you know, they confirmed it was her. So that's a lot of groundwork. That really is. Right?
Yeah, so I'm just going to pop everyone's bubble here. I've got a full-time job, and we've got kids, and it's hard to spend a lot of time doing this. I try to as much as possible, but honestly, I think we maybe took a shortcut by having the relatives come on and be interviewed, because it is a lot of work.
That's fantastic. Though.
We do our best to try to look into these cases, but we're at one point where we're trying to do like a case every 2 weeks to get a new case out. So a lot of it is surface level investigation. There are a few cases, particularly here in Maine, that we've dug deeper into. But when it's
there's,
you know, someone out of state,
that really.
Right. That's actually pretty cool, though. I mean, like, I don't know. I'm into all of this, like, especially with cases and stuff like that. Like, I'm good at it when it comes to figuring shit out. Right, David and Fabian?
Yeah.
Yeah, you are.
Right.
You are. Very good.
I've got some assistance on the spirit side to help, but otherwise than that, which is really true. Seriously. Like, right, guys?
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Well, Walter definitely helps you out a lot of things. Yeah.
Especially in a you know, a situation where there's something funky going on. Yeah. Yep.
Guys, I want to ask you a question. What do y'all consider the most important resource that can be brought to y'all to help y'all get the grounding to start being able to try to get answers and solving a case or trying to?
Most important resources. Really, it's just drumming up tips, you know, getting people to talk. I think we've done a good job with that with some of these cases in Maine that are older and not a lot of people talking about, so we have covered them, and it does get people talking. We have a pretty active Facebook page as well. We have over 9,000 people that follow us on Facebook, where we also try
to post
anytime, like immediately when someone goes missing. We've had so many people just in the last year reach out to us when they can't find their daughter that's been missing for 6-7 hours, and they reach out to us. We share the poster, you know, we create a poster, we share it, and then all of a sudden the daughter's found. I think we're up to about 10 or 11 people now that we've helped find that way.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
Fantastic, guys. Awesome.
I like it. And now, what about
just to go back.
Grim?
Oh, yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
Okay. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
go
so just to go back to the person that was missing there. It was Bonnie Ray Kelly and Roland Stoversky from Aurora, Illinois.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that anywhere where you grew up? Anywhere near?
That's
David.
Like pretty. That's closer to Chicago, and I was like mid-state, closer to Peoria. I was like 4 hours away. I don't know if I remember hearing about that when it happened. I might have been too young.
I'll send you the link so you can listen.
Okay, yeah, do that.
Yeah.
I'll check it out after the show tonight.
It's always really, it's really a good thing. Like, I'm serious. When it comes to helping people, that's like the best. It really is. I didn't know if you incorporate, now you got a paranormal group and you balance the locating the lost. So locating the lost and are they both the same? I mean, like people, you know?
Yes, Jeff and I, and then our wives that do the ghost research investigations of Maine, Grimm. So we do that, and then we help my brother's paranormal group, Afterlife Paranormal. We put on Parafest Maine every year.
Okay.
So this year will be the seventh year we've done
that.
That's
fun.
Who's coming this year? Where are you guys from? You sound like you're from down south somewhere. Where are you guys located?
I am. Well, I'm from...
Wait, everybody's
go ahead, Lisa.
You go first with the accent. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm originally from Houston, Texas, but I've lived in the Knoxville, Tennessee area for about 35 years.
And David,
okay.
You know you're from Illinois, right? And
I'm just going to
say it like this. I want to have a cup of coffee and see my dog. Okay, there
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, she wants coffee, coffee and a dog.
That's where I'm originally from.
So she got that Jersey girl going on along with some Pennsylvania influence.
Yeah, it's a double.
But you got to emphasize coffee.
Coffee and
right.
a dog. All right, there you go. The dog and the coffee.
Okay, Fabian, when you say it, you have to say it like it's spelled K-W-O-U-F-E-E.
Yeah. No, it's K-A.
No.
as long as it's good
okay.
coffee.
All right, anyway.
I'm kidding. It's just my accent.
So you were asking
run
about...
run right off the rails.
Lisa, where are you from, Lisa?
Originally, Perth Amboy, New Jersey, right across from Staten Island. Staten Island. Yep.
Okay.
That's it.
You were asking
literally,
about who was coming to Parafest this year.
Yeah, who's coming? Yeah.
The biggest name so far is Ronnie LeBlanc. He's been on Expedition Bigfoot. On the Discovery Channel.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys have ever seen that.
Mm-hmm.
We have Katie Elizabeth. She's a Lake Monster Field researcher from Vermont. So she's actually,
nice.
She has a research vessel out on Lake Champlain looking for a champ.
Okay.
We've also got
I like that. That's good. Okay.
We've got a new group this year from Arizona. They're called Unearthing the Supernatural, and they're a group of four Native American men who use Native American techniques and things to look for ghosts or for spirits. That's really cool.
Right.
We've got John Huntington coming.
Really
we've got Christopher Brown. He's a psychic medium. He's a local guy. He's helped us quite a few years now. And then Warner Paranormal Explorers, and they're out of Massachusetts. They're also coming. But in the past, we've had John Staff from John Zaffis from
Haunted Collector.
John Zaffis?
John Zaffis. Good friend, Johnny.
Yes.
Yeah.
John is
definitely.
So
we love
Johnny. Yep.
Shout out to Johnny.
Yep.
The paranormal couple has been there in the past.
And Julie, yeah.
Amy Bruni has been there before.
Yeah.
So,
we're
not a huge event.
I muted myself. I don't know what I did.
I thought it was quiet.
It's a brand new phone, and I'm
it got really quiet, didn't it?
I know.
Yeah.
Okay. Amy's cool. Amy's real cool. I met her at Fort Mifflin in Philadelphia. She's really cool.
Oh yeah, really down to earth. Great girl.
Yep. Very.
We try to have a couple bigger names, and then a lot of just local people, just to give them a chance to kind of feel important, I guess.
Connect. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Connect. Right. Connect. There
right.
you go.
Connect.
Yeah, what's, give them the experience
how's
as well.
The vendor situation situated this year?
Well, last year we had 75 vendors. I think we're up to about 45 so far this year. We'll have a couple food trucks out front. Yeah. A couple food trucks out front as well. And then we do talks and lectures, workshops all day long. And then, you know, the vendors area is inside the huge mill, which is 250,000 square feet. That's also a haunted location, so we do a paranormal investigation of the mill on Friday night as well. Yep.
All right.
Hey, did you guys bring in? You know, did you bring in like the horror actors too? Do they come? Like the like horror people? No, I'm not.
We have not yet.
No, you should. It really brings up the event so much. I know. You should spread the word. All right, I'll spread the word. Horror people.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say that.
Really,
I've got
you, Jeff,
got
right,
a
both
group.
Of us, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think it's kind of, like, really cool when you have that going on at the same time. What is beeping? Is it my end?
I thought it was your microwave.
I don't hear it.
I don't hear anything.
It's got to be in here somewhere. No, it's got to be in here somewhere. David, is it you?
What?
Are you beeping?
Somehow or other, I keep pausing my thing. I keep muting myself. What the hell, y'all?
Okay, no. He's not
okay.
No.
All right.
I thought
it
you were
be...
cooking something, Lisa.
No, it must be something in the room here. I just don't know what it is. I'm in the computer room, so I don't know what's beeping. Okay, so. Yeah. There you
go.
Try,
Travis and Jeff, I actually have family that live in Maine. And
okay.
I'm sure you've heard of Acadia. You know where Acadia is, right? Acadia, the national
park
up in Maine.
Yeah.
Park.
Yeah. Well, my family was originally from the original Acadia, which is now Nova Scotia, Newfoundland area, and all that. And I have family a lot. Yeah, I know. Our both Lisa and I. Just so you know, Lisa and I we're cousins, but
yes, we are.
But we're more like family than most of our close family.
Exactly.
Up in Maine, there, up in Acadia, some of our family ended up in Maine, and there's a lot of tray hands in Maine, and actually, some of them have ran for political office out of Augusta. So there's senators that are tray hands. There's police that are tray hands. There's probably a few bad ones running around there. But there's a lot of there's a lot of French Acadian ancestry there, and I have family. Do y'all ever do any investigations in the Vassalboro, Winslow area of Maine?
That's where
Parapest
is in Vassalboro.
Really?
The big mill in Vassalboro.
Oh, cool. Actually, David did tell me that earlier. I just forgot. Yeah, he did tell me that, and I'd forgotten. So, that's pretty
close
cool.
Close to Canada, right? You're close to Canada?
That's
you guys
cool.
Close to Canada?
Very cool.
Well, that's relatively speaking. I think it's about 5 hours from my house to Canada, but Maine's a huge state.
Mm-hmm. I know.
So I'm like in the middle of the state.
It depends on where you're at.
It's about 10 minutes for Jeff to Canada, but...
Oh, okay.
3 hours. 3 hours. Thank you very much.
Oh, 3 hours. Yeah. And how about, I was just thinking, did you ever go, to Salem and all that jazz? Because I know you're on the other end, but you still get there in the middle. You know what I mean? Like, we come up from there and go to Boston. How long would it take you to get up to, Boston or Salem?
Actually, that's probably only be about 6 hours.
Five or six hours.
I went to Salem last year. That was fun.
Because you guys,
okay,
did you do the con? Did you do the con that they have down there?
No.
Salem, I don't know if they're still there. If I see it, you guys should sign up and get a table there for Locating the Lost.
Didn't Toby go last year? Toby and Tony went to the Salem thing.
Yeah, they dressed up like the Ghostbusters and went.
Oh, okay. Was it Halloween though? Halloween or just the con? That was I don't remember.
No,
the con.
I think
they
went
to
the Salem con and they dressed up.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
they want everyone to know they're ghost hunters.
Yep. Okay. So you were to Ghostbusters.
Did it for the hell of it. It was a Friday. Why not?
Hell yeah. That works. That's what I mean. You brightened up that room real fast, didn't you? You come in just like Ghostbusters. People taking all the kinds of pictures, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
I think
wait a
Jeff
minute.
And I.
You know
and then
he's answering me.
Jeff and I and my brother Toby as well. We're really big into helping other teams and create a unity in the state of Maine. So we have are part of a group called Maine Paranormal Alliance, where I know a lot of states they have people that having little pissing contests with each other, and it's all drama. But
yeah,
I feel like in Maine,
that is insane. I know that. Never mind. Go ahead.
I think we're doing a good job in Maine keeping contact with each other, and if we can't make a case, we reach out to another team and ask them to go take care of it. And vice versa. They all are willing to come and help us with Parafest Maine. They come and help run rotations during the investigation. So it's a good group
of
people we have here.
That is really
we also
good.
Put on,
it's good to have that. I think we're getting away from the drama and the, I'm better than you type of thing now these days.
Well,
I think it's going to improve. Or just because I don't care anymore. Wait a minute. You know what I mean? I just, for real, I mean, it's just I'm done with the people like that, but still in all, I think it's getting better, and what you're doing is great because it brings people together more.
Yeah.
Which is what we need.
Yeah, and we put on different public events, too. The last couple of years, we've rented Swan Island in Maine, so we rent the whole island for the two nights, Friday and Saturday night. I think, David, you've been out there before, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Swan Island is amazing.
How many times have you been out? Twice? Or did you go just once with us?
I think a couple times, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. But that's a good event.
Yeah,
last year, the ferry was shut down by the Coast Guard the day before our event. So we had to scramble and find another location. And luckily, the our friends at the mill in Vassalboro was willing to take us all in. We had everyone camping out back. We had a fire for them still, so they still got the camping experience, but they got to investigate the mill instead. So that was,
yeah,
they were a godsend that year.
Oh. So this is a strange little bit of a story there for Lisa and Fabian.
Uh-oh.
About the mill.
Oh, I love strange stories. Go ahead.
Okay, this is about the mill, and Travis can back me up on it. The guy who owns the mill, I don't remember, why did he say he bought that in the first place, Travis?
So Ray grew up in Waterville, and then he moved to that area as a child, and he used to ride his bike by the mill and the mill agent's house, which is right across the street. It's a big old house with pillars in the front. He now has, I think, 7 apartments in that house, just to tell you how big that is. And he says something called him to buy the house. They bought the house, and then the mill came up for sale or auction, and he was able to luckily grab that too. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And the strangest part was there is a picture of an early company softball baseball team from the mill, and Ray looks exactly like one of the people in that picture.
Well, that would
it's
be because
uncanny.
He probably was drawn there because it was family. That's
oh, my God.
I
mean,
guarantee
yeah,
it.
You
I think it's
Ray
from like
before he grew his beard.
I can't remember what year that poster says on it. I think it's like 1853 or something like that. But
did you get a name?
It's quite a
did
few
you
years
get a
ago.
Name on it, or was there a name on it? Or
there's no,
the photo
he hasn't
like,
found out who the guy
no
is.
No name. Yeah,
no,
but
he looks just
really
like him.
Hard.
He does. He looks just like him.
I guarantee that's an ancestor of somewhat, and when you went there, that you recognized. You know what I mean? Recognized the place. And you knew you had to buy it. You get it? Like, I guess it's called cell memory, you know, that we leave behind from our ancestors. You know,
yeah.
Like they say there's
psychical
memories.
Memory.
Yeah. Yep.
Like you touch, you go visit a place and you touch the wall and it's like a psychometry kind of thing. Like, oh, I want to live here, man. This is,
right.
I can feel it in my bones. This is where
yep.
I want to be.
Yeah.
So got that whole
nuts if I
can't psychometry
figure out
thing going on.
Hey, Dave, I just sent you a picture of the captain that's seen in the mill and at the mill agent's house. This picture was taken in the basement of building 2. So hopefully Dave will pass that on to you two, Fabian and Lisa,
oh,
so you can check it out.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh,
yep.
Oh, David's awesome, man. Happy birthday again, Dave.
Happy birthday, Dave.
Yeah, happy birthday,
yeah,
Dave.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah, yeah I'm the old guy now.
Oh,
what are you, 24?
54, unfortunately.
That's not old, right, Fabian?
That's not old at all, man.
No.
Hey, you rocking out with the good. You rocking out with the cool generation, brother.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll be 49 soon, so I'm catching up to you guys. If you guys can slow down.
Okay, there you go.
Well, you sound like you're like 26 or something. You're doing good.
Really? Yeah, you should see me.
Yeah, you do. Oh yeah, you really do. Well, I tried to hide, but we're doing the video podcast now, and I wanted to speak for the whole team. Maybe sometime we can get y'all on the podcast and we can show your videos. And I noticed I watched a video. I think the girl's last name was Hutchins, if my memory serves me correctly.
Yeah,
was
Brandi Hutchins.
Yeah, Brandi Hutchins.
Brandi, yeah, thank you, Brandi Hutchins. I was kind of running out the door. I'm actually on my way to work. I'm a truck driver, so I'm on my way to the service center. But I got to watch a little bit of it, and it seemed pretty interesting. Could you tell us a little bit about Brandi Hutchins' story?
Jeff?
Or are you allowed to do that?
Oh, yeah, we can. I just feel like I've been talking a lot. I don't know if Jeff wants to jump in or not.
No, if he doesn't, then that's okay. That's fine.
He's probably trying to remember the story.
No, I'm trying to remember the details. Like,
well,
that's
no,
the
no,
is,
I mean,
is
if you wanted to tell
there's
us
a lot
what
of
you're
this. And I've got the memory of a goldfish sometimes. Like,
yeah.
I can do a lot of research and I'm into stuff. Like, I'm pretty good with a lot of stuff, but some of these stories, they can start to blend together a little bit.
Yeah,
so,
oh, I get you.
That's my
know.
Problem. I have that problem royally.
We have ADHD.
Well, Well, I should.
Brandy.
Well, yeah. I'm not going to
Brandy
tell.
Was a teenage girl.
My brain.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Brandy
oh, no,
was
sorry.
A teenage
go ahead.
Girl, and her. Brandy was a teenage girl who told her father that she was invited to a party. The father
oh, yes.
brings
okay.
her. Her mother had left her when she was younger, so her father was raising her, and that her home life wasn't the best anyway. But mm-hmm. the father had dropped her off in an abandoned house, and he questioned her when he dropped her off. He says, "I don't see anyone here," and she's like, "I promise you, Dad, they'll be here soon." So he drops her off. She never came home. Her body's found
oh, wow.
at that abandoned house, under the house. Two hunters the next day
oh.
were hunting, and the father didn't even know she was missing at this point because she kind of would go
oh.
to friends' houses for a few days at a time.
Yeah.
But
yep.
a couple of hunters found or saw her shoes sticking out from under the house because it was up, like propped
oh,
up
man.
Or something, I guess. And then they walked over and realized there's a dead body there. And the weirdest
goodness.
Thing is the investigator oh. that's in charge of her case bought the property, the house and the land, which is really weird. I don't understand why
wow.
he did that.
What?
Yeah, well, I think the story with that is that he'd bought it. I think he bought it before he even had the case, like before.
Oh, I got.
Or
it
might have been
oh,
before he was
like,
he was a detective or something. I think
yeah.
it was more
oh,
of a
God.
Coincidental thing. Like mm-hmm. it sounded, it, yeah, but yeah, there was a lot of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, just all of it's bad.
Oh my
feel
God!
Really
so
bad
did
for
they find the killer?
Families in that situation.
Did they find the killer?
No.
No.
And we,
well,
and
there's a
that's
prime
a,
suspect, I guess, but...
Yeah. And that's
okay.
the thing with all these stories is we don't go over ones that, like, have a conviction. You know, that's sort of the point of this.
Right, right, gotcha.
Getting
right.
the voices of
exactly.
the victims
right.
out there, the stories, so that we can get some attention to it, so maybe someone will get off their ass and do something for them.
Yeah,
exactly.
Or somebody that saw something come forward with it. You know what I mean? That's always a plus,
right.
too. If they didn't
well,
know
yeah.
it, then they wouldn't know to.
Y'all
yeah.
have a lot of
yeah,
courage
and
doing that. Lots of courage doing what
I think
you're
that's,
doing.
Yeah, I think that's also one of the good parts about locating the lost is that the story stays out in the public's attention.
Exactly.
And
mm-hmm.
hopefully maybe whoever actually committed the crime in the first place
well,
will.
Is that deep?
They'll get a guilty conscience sooner or later, and they'll step forward or, you know,
hopefully,
somebody
yeah.
will recognize them.
Not always, but hopefully,
or,
like
yeah,
you
no,
said.
Not always.
Yeah, yep.
Or
I
the
mean,
person
a lot
that did
of,
it
lot
is
of
now
people out there. Yeah, that
the person that did it is now
it.
70 years old, and they don't have to be scared of them anymore,
yeah.
and they come forward, things like that. Yeah,
yep.
And then with DNA,
it. Yep.
The advances in DNA
yeah.
is unreal now with.
That's
you know,
amazing.
Familial
oh,
DNA
genetic,
and everything.
Yeah, the,
oh, my God.
Yeah,
how
the hereditary
amazing.
DNA, that's amazing.
Yeah, no, that's...
Yeah.
I'm,
look at how many cases
have been
solved now.
Guys,
I know, it's wicked cool.
Did you ever... Do you guys hear about the case in Philly of the boy in the box? Did you ever hear about that?
Yep. Yes. Yeah.
It was
and
like, what, about
just,
70 years ago? And they just now found the earth. They just now found the family through DNA. And they just
yeah.
identified
yep.
his parents
I know who he
like
was.
Today.
Yep,
yeah, they know
unreal.
Who he was, and they're giving him a
yeah,
proper
genealogical career. DNA. He went his whole life getting away with it.
Yeah, but the guy
yep.
I mean, it was a 70-year-old case, so
I know, I know, but
yeah.
I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay,
that's
so
crazy.
Here's a weird question, and I know you probably won't step into it with locating the lost, but what about old unsolved high profile? Murders or missing people, like
or strange cases.
No.
Oh, somebody's calling, Fabian. I think. Hold on, wait.
Like the Black Dahlia murder.
Yeah, Black Dahlia is an excellent example.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And she was
yeah.
from Maine,
yeah,
right?
That,
she ties to Maine.
Really? I did not know that.
I think she did.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, I think more of what we try to do is because those stories have a pile of attention, we actually aim for the ones that have less attention. And sometimes
right.
something might be a bit on the spectacular side, you could say, but for the most part, it's you know, we want to be able to get the unheard sort of stories out there, the ones who don't have the attention. Something like the Black Dahlia. And that's something that I think we've discussed in the past is maybe doing little investigation things on it. But as
yeah,
far as like our
exactly.
podcast, what we really want people to see
Mm-hmm.
You know, to get attention to those.
Now, one of the coolest
like
things
and,
we did get a chance to cover. Have you guys heard of Alyssa Turney from Arizona? She went. She disappeared, and now the prime suspect is her father. Which her sister Sarah Turney. She has a podcast called Voices for Justice, and it was like
I think
in the top 10 for the longest time until the father, because her sister did the podcast. The father was finally arrested, and he's going to be held accountable for his crime, even though her sister's never been found. We actually were able to interview her, and to me, as a listener of that podcast, it was amazing, and it was like meeting a celebrity when we got to talk to her, so that was really cool.
That's really
I know.
Good. That's awesome.
That is, seriously, that is really good, because you're helping a lot of people, which is awesome. Well, at least you can help get the word out and help get some closure, and sometimes people get caught because you put that out. You know what I'm saying? When you put that out in the, you know, start exposing it, the people say, hey, I've seen this person, I've seen that person, you know what I mean, I've seen some guy over there, you know, and sometimes they come forward, am I right? They can come forward with a case
right.
of a missing person.
Yeah, sometimes they do. Sometimes
if you
turns
got a
out to be they just talking in prison or talking in jail, hey, guess what I did, you know, they like, they ain't got nothing to lose, and then they start ratting themselves out. Sometimes that happens too.
Yeah, or somebody was at Smith Street and some street, and they saw that girl that's in the missing persons picture getting born into a car. You know what I mean? Or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So something, anything like that, or guys. So there's way too many unsolved missing people.
We've done a couple one-offs, too, with we've done a couple one-offs where we got to meet Neil Mant. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of him, but he's a producer. He's done, Expedition Unknown and stuff with Josh Gates. He's his producer.
Josh
Gates.
He created an app called the Crime Door app, which is a 3D app where you walk into a door and you become part of the crime scene. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah. Like, it's really cool.
It's amazing. We had a great conversation with him. You guys should definitely check that out. But he's talking about, you know, that's the future of podcasting. You know, how cool it would be to interview someone and then take them, the viewer can actually go into the crime scene and look around and things. So it was pretty eye-opening.
Is that like Oculus VR? Does it use Oculus VR? Can you, like, do
virtual reality? It works right on your phone,
It's on your phone,
So something like a Google Maps zoom in kind of thing, right?
Oh, different. It's 3D, right?
No,
it's 3D.
It's reality.
It's augmented reality. It's actually if you move your phone around, it will work as a camera in the 3D space. As you turn your phone, you can look around, so it's really good in an open room because you can walk around with your phone, and the sensors in your phone will know if you're moving forward or backwards, so you can turn the phone as a camera and look at different aspects inside of the crime scene. It's really cool.
Oh, that's fun.
Very neat.
I'd be falling down my basement stairs trying to use that. if I was staying inside somebody else's house.
You can go into the JonBenet Ramsey case. You can walk into JonBenet Ramsey's house and look around, and you can find her in the wine cellar in the basement. You can go to O.J. Simpson's wife there when she was murdered, her and Goldman there. You can go to that crime scene, and that's crazy. Like, the bodies are still there, and, I mean, it's augmented reality, so it's not like you're looking at a body, but it's cool to imagine that space.
I got you.
Do you know the interesting thing about the JonBenet Ramsey house is that they can't sell it. They cannot sell it. They've tried to sell it for years. They've changed the name of the street and everything, trying to sell that house, and it's still not been sold. At least at the time I saw the article that I saw, probably. I think they even lowered the price, but for some reason
we should all chip in and buy it together. Well, the paranormal investigations run out of there.
Yeah, but that's way out on the other side of the country.
Where the hell is it?
Yeah.
Where is it? California, right?
It's even far from me.
Yeah, somewhere in California, I believe.
Yeah. Wow. Yep. Well,
so you guys, you're with Grim, your Grim Ghost Hunting Group. Y'all also do paranormal investigations, Grim, right? And
yes.
I wanted to know, what is the most intense case y'all ever had, that y'all ever had to go through? The most intense paranormal investigation that y'all ever encountered, so to speak.
Jeff, you have anything that comes to mind that?
Well, the last few years, we've been doing, we haven't done a whole lot as the Grim as the team itself. I think the only thing that we've done within the last year has been we went to a small church that someone, I think that they, it used to be a church that someone had bought the property for and stuff. And you know, we did an investigation in that, but there wasn't really too much going on there. What we've been doing the last few years is, you know, we'll do a few like public events like our Parafest or the Swan Island thing, or, you know, might go around to help other, other people. So,
yeah.
I mean, we still operate as Grim. But as far as like individual like houses and cases, we have really haven't done a whole lot in quite a while, individually.
Okay. That's fine. Would you like to get out some plugs?
How often do you guys get up to Fort Knox?
I usually go help them once or twice a summer. This last year I didn't go up at all, though.
That is a really cool place, though.
Our group, PUFS, Pennsylvania Underground Paranormal Society, doesn't. We don't do homes. We do, like, historic locations and try to speak to the spirits at the locations. You know what I mean? And usually document it historically with what we get,
right,
which is kind of really cool. Like, we do like historic research on top of the evidence that we get to see if it coincides properly. We're pretty good so far. Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
Our group in Tennessee does Southwest Virginia, Tennessee, Western North Carolina, and we do local private and public investigations. Some are historic, some are just people wanting answers, and that's what I'm speaking of. Those plugs, I was thinking, do y'all want to get out some plugs on your group and on your mission?
Take this time now for, you know, plug both groups, whatever you want right now.
Yep. So Locating Lost, we can be found on YouTube as well as Facebook, a very active page there where lots of discussion going on. And then basically any podcast platform, including Spotify, iTunes, all that, were available there. Parafest Maine, that's strictly based in Facebook land, but we do different events throughout the year that you can join us and get your spook on, I guess.
I like that. I say keeping spooky. Now I want to steal that.
All you horror guys, why don't you go to Parafest in Maine? There you go. I'm putting it out for the horror people. Just travel up there and go to Parafest in Maine. There.
Well,
it's a good time.
Fabian's a truck driver. You guys just jump in with him.
Yeah, well, I went up that far. I run regional now, but I've ran all 48.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, the story about Maine, there is this haunted stretch of road in Maine. And
yeah,
it's
there's a song about
Is it Maine State Highway 2 that supposedly killed a lot of truck drivers, you know, this ribbon of ice, they used to call it back in the 50s and 60s. And there's a song by Dick Burles that was written about the road in
Route
Maine.
Route 2?
Route 2, yeah, Route 2 in Maine.
Route 2 goes pretty much one side to the other.
Yeah. Well, it's
no
up there in northern Maine. It's northern Maine. And, I was often wishing I could run that road just to see if I could sense anything on it. But no, I'm down here in the southeast now. And I tell you what, someday I am wanting to get up to where my ancestors were 400 years ago in Acadia and check it out. I think it's really cool.
Well,
beautiful state.
Come up October 21st.
I wish I could. But David,
oh, that's
going to
be pushing it for you, Lisa.
David, represent us.
Lisa's got an event down at Selma Mansion on the
28th. We're going to put together a horror night at Selma. So, yeah.
Let's go.
Okay, this one's completely off any of the topics we've covered, but What is your opinion on the cryptids here in Maine, Travis?
Oh, good question.
Well, since
and
my brother...
Here's the reason...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was going to say,
so,
the reason I was asking... Okay, there's a delay going on here.
No,
I'll be quiet.
Funny.
Go ahead.
The reason you're asking was what?
I saw a podcast the other night from Dave Schrader, and he was talking about one of the cryptids up here, and it's got the weirdest name. Of course, he came up with the weirdest voice for it on his own. But apparently the cryptid is called a snallygaster.
Oh, yeah, Dave.
I've never heard
never
of
heard
that.
Of that.
No, nope. Never heard of that.
No, actually,
I
looked up the name. I looked up the name afterwards, and it does actually exist up here in the Northeast as a cryptid.
Okay,
that's cool.
What is it supposed to be?
Well, to describe the picture, it looks like a land-based Loch Ness monster with wings.
Like a dragon?
No, not really.
Sounds like a dragon.
Like a Jersey Devil, but
kind of no. Kind of short-bodied. It's got wings. It's got the long neck like Champ or the Loch Ness Monster would, but the front claws, front paws, fins, whatever, look like mole's feet.
Sounds like a fucking dinosaur.
So sometimes
was drinking Red Bull.
People,
right?
People
yeah,
make fun of me
yeah.
because I'm a... I think sometimes people make fun of me because I believe in Bigfoot. Like I've actually been out in the woods searching for a Sasquatch and everything, and I believe wholeheartedly that there's some out there, right? And then about a week and a half ago, my brother was driving down 95 near Yarmouth, across from Dave, if you know where the Muddy Rudder is. There's a bog over there, and he claims to have seen what he thought was first was a man walking across that bog, but then realized how much bigger he was than a regular man, and he was bouncing like he's on the moon. Like if you can imagine like an astronaut running, that's what he was doing in this bog, according to my brother Toby. So
that's crazy.
What in the world?
No bear.
Well, he's not one to really make up. He's never really made up any stories to me, so I believe him wholeheartedly. And I actually got off the exit the next day and kind of looked around, but I didn't see nothing there. It is right next to the town transfer station though, and everything. It's in behind there.
Yep. Well, there's got to be things out there that we don't know. Like, Bigfoot's smart enough to stay the hell away from us. That's number one. All right? And you know what I mean? And the other things, like the legend of the Jersey Devil, all that stuff has a background on it. So there's some truth, you know, that in all of it. But Bigfoot's too common to be seen. Like, in Washington State, you know what I mean? That's a Bigfoot State. So there you go.
This is our two-minute warning.
Oh, she's coming. Hold on. She's coming. All right. Well, that don't matter. We'll let it run out. I mean, I'll put a last 10 seconds before we say goodbye.
Thank you so much. Thank you
for coming on. And,
thanks for having us on.
Yeah, it was fun.
Oh, God, 42 seconds. There you go. Yeah, we're going to – you can come back on anytime you want, and hopefully we can have you on the podcast too, you know?
So for everybody listening,
absolutely.
Check out Locating the Lost on YouTube.
You all know.
And check out their Facebook page as well. Hook up with Ghost Researchers in Maine, Grim Paranormal, on Facebook. Definitely check out the Parafest Maine Facebook page. Everything there is going to give you a lot of information and help you out as much as possible. It's always good times.
And I'll put,
you
guys on the Haunted Asylum, too. It's got 17,000 members. So maybe
No, we appreciate that, guys.
In the comment section on the links on all the sites, too. That's good, so they can find you. All right?
All right, guys.
We're
going to
say good night now.
Thanks, Travis and Jeff.
All right.
Have a good night.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all have a good
night.
Good night. Good week.
Happy birthday, David.
Happy
birthday,
David.
Happy birthday.
All right.
Take care, everyone. Thanks again.
Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From Paranormal,